Take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. This morning we are looking at verses 16 to 18, fasting that glorifies God. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What do people who fast look like? What kinds of people come to your mind? Do they appear a bit strange? Are they John the Baptist types? Legalists? Health nuts? This is the way Dr. Donald Whitney opens his chapter on fasting in his book on spiritual disciplines. And these are good questions to ask. And the reason they are good questions to ask is because when it comes to fasting, we think that people who fast are a bit strange. I mean, why are these people going without food for a specific period of time? I like my food. I like to eat. I am not going without a meal anytime soon. And why in the world would I do that in the first place? I mean, I know fasting, it's mentioned in the Bible. I know it was practiced. But does fasting have any significance for me? Does it really matter if I fast or not? Can I get along without it? And I think that we ask these questions because we usually don't talk about fasting. You think about the spiritual disciplines. If I were to talk to you and I were to say, can you give me some spiritual disciplines, you would tell me. You would say, well, sure. Reading the Bible, praying, giving, evangelism, worshiping. And we talk a lot about those spiritual disciplines, but how many of you, if I were to ask you to name the spiritual disciplines, would name fasting? Probably not many of you, if not any of you. How often do you talk about fasting when it comes to the spiritual disciplines? I can't tell you the last conversation I had about fasting with another Christian, other than preparing this message. I think the last time I talked to someone about fasting was the last time I preached through the Sermon on the Mount, 7, 8 years ago. So I found it interesting this week, as I was studying and trying to understand why it is that fasting is the least discussed and most misunderstood spiritual discipline. And Dr. Whitney made a very interesting point. And here's what he says. Fasting is the most feared and misunderstood of all the spiritual disciplines. And what caught my attention when I read that was that fasting is the most feared of all the spiritual disciplines. And I don't know about you, but I never thought that fear could be the reason why we don't fast. Or we don't talk about fasting, or we don't teach much on fasting. He goes on to say, one reason many fear fasting is the belief that it will make us appear unnecessarily strange or cause undesirable consequences. We fear fasting will make us hollow-eyed fanatics or odd for God. We worry that it will make us suffer dreadfully and give us a generally negative experience. Now, one reason I think that Christians don't fast is because we don't understand its purpose. We don't understand its significance. We look at fasting and all we can think about of how hungry we're going to be, how we can't miss a meal, and how much we love our food. And again, I know that, we do love our food, at least, as I said before, most of you. We looked at that when we looked at the disciples' prayer and we saw, give us our daily bread, and we don't usually pray for our daily bread because we have so much of it, and how Americans are obsessed with eating. And as I said, the statistic is we eat about 1 ton of food per year. One pastor said, food can become the source of joy and meaning, can be the source of pleasure. Well, how can you know that? He says, if you eat when you're not hungry, if you eat to find peace, if you eat to find joy. He said that a woman once told him that she had a problem with cookies. She said this, a plate of cookies put out in a public place after lunch positively torments me. I'm not hungry. I don't need a cookie, but I cannot bear the thought of someone else eating that cookie. So I walk past it, then I think about it and come back and eat. Why? Because I am afraid that someone else will take that cookie and I won't be able to taste it. Now, I love my cookies, but wow. And this could be with anything in our lives. Anything can become an idol. Anything can replace our joy and satisfaction in the Lord. And please, don't hear me say that food is bad, that you shouldn't enjoy food. No, God created food and all different kinds of food for us to enjoy. I was telling our kids this week that, I mean, look at all the different kinds of foods that we have and all the tastes. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Look at all that God has created, all of the flavor that we can enjoy. Paul wrote to Timothy and said in 1 Timothy 4, in the last days there will be false teachers, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. God has created food to be enjoyed as long as we give the glory to God as we enjoy the food. And everything you do, whether it's eating and drinking, you do what? All to the glory of God. So I don't want you to leave here today, and I want you to hear me saying and thinking that food is bad and we should eat as little as possible and stay away from it as much as we can. That is not the point at all. I pray that you understand the point and the purpose of fasting, the point and purpose of this spiritual discipline, so that we can draw closer to our Lord, to love Him more, to desire more of Him, and to live for His glory. Now, before we get into fasting, I want to remind you, it's been some time, of the warning here. The context of Matthew chapter 6 in the first 18 verses. Remember that we're looking at religious hypocrisy. And we see the warning, we see the danger that Jesus gives in the first verse. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you would have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. And then he gives three examples of that, three illustrations of that. Notice that word, beware. Be on guard. Be careful. Don't be like the religious hypocrites, the scribes and the Pharisees. Don't be like them. We can worship God with our lips, but our hearts can drift. Our hearts can be far from Christ. So notice that warning. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men. And here's the key, to be noticed by them. In other words, whenever you carry out spiritual disciplines, and here it's giving and praying and fasting, don't do so to draw attention to yourself. Everything we do must be done to the honor and glory of God. If we carry out these spiritual disciplines, whatever they may be, here, such as giving, praying, and fasting, for the very purpose of being noticed, of being recognized, to bring attention to ourselves, then we too are religious hypocrites because we're not doing it for the glory of God. We're doing it for show. Remember that word hypocrite. It means to be an actor on stage. It simply means you're doing it for show. You're doing it to be noticed by others so that they can see how great you are, how spiritual you are, and for them to applaud you. And don't forget that this has to do with worship. It has to do with our hearts. We should give and pray and fast, again, for that purpose, that God may be glorified, that he would be praised, that he would be honored. That's the point. Remember, in all things, that's what it means to glorify God, is to put his name on display. It's to show him off and how great he is. But here's this danger, is that we can do it for applause. We can carry out spiritual disciplines to be noticed by men, and how easy is it for that to creep into our lives? So easy. As I said before, what starts off is something that's pure devotion to God. Again, you're delighting in God, you're rejoicing in God, you love God, and you serve the Lord out of a heart that desires to see him worshiped and praised, and then people begin to notice you and recognize you and praise you, and you begin to love it. You begin to love it. Love the attention, love the praise, and our hearts drift slowly and subtly away from the Lord to the praise of men. So remember, Jesus is teaching his disciples. And teaching them and teaching us, there is a danger when it comes to worship. There is a danger when it comes to serving our Lord. And that danger is not even doing acts of righteousness. And the danger is not even doing acts of righteousness before men. The danger is doing acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. Because you remember, Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. For what purpose? To glorify your Father who is in heaven. So as Christians, we studied this before, we are to be visible, we are to be radiant, we're not to hide ourselves. We are to be to go and be lights in this world to shine forth Christ and the good news of the gospel. That's why he says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. But the point is so that God may be glorified. So this is not about drawing attention to ourselves so that people will look at us and see us and marvel at us. Jesus is saying here is that we're not to attract attention to ourselves. Whenever it is we do good works and others notice us, what do? We point them to God. That's how you shine the light of Christ. So that is the main point and the main emphasis of what we have been studying. So we can carry out or practice spiritual disciplines for the wrong purpose with the wrong motive. Again, we can do it for show, to be noticed by men. And he says, if that's what you do, then there's your reward. You have your reward in full. Do you want the praise of men as your reward or the praise of God? So we need to think about that this morning when it comes to fasting. We've looked at giving, we've looked at praying to the glory of God, but how do we fast to the glory of God? And so here are some questions, I think, that are important questions as we think about fasting. Well, what is fasting? And why do we fast? How often should we fast? And so these are just a few questions to consider as we go through the text this morning. First, Jesus assumes his disciples will fast. Jesus assumes his disciples will fast. Notice verse 16. Whenever you fast. Verse 17. But you, when you fast. So those who are in God's kingdom, those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, fast. Now the question, We need to ask because we're so unfamiliar with the spiritual discipline is what is fasting. And you could define fasting as abstinence from food, and that would be correct. There are many people who are not even Christians who fast, and they might do so for health reasons. They may do so to lose weight, to feel better. But what is biblical fasting? What is biblical fasting? Here's a few definitions I came across this week. One is from David Mathis. Fasting is voluntarily going without food or any other regularly enjoyed good gift from God for the sake of some spiritual purpose. And I want you to notice that. It's for a spiritual purpose. That's what I want you to focus on. So once again, fasting is voluntarily going without food or any other regularly enjoyed good gift from God for the sake of some spiritual purpose. Here's Paul Washer. Fasting is associated mostly with abstaining from food for a specific period of time for the purpose of seeking God. The fundamental principle of fasting may also include abstinence from any activity, event, or temporal pleasure for the sake of drawing near to God. So there's a few definitions. So Christian fasting, biblical fasting, is abstinence from food or some other activity for spiritual purposes. Some cannot fast for health reasons, but it could be for or any activity, but it must be for spiritual purposes. That is the key. By the way, there are many types of fasts in the scriptures. Some are total fasts. Some are partial fasts, meaning that those in the scriptures fasted completely from all foods. Some were partial and they fasted from certain foods. Some fasts were for weeks, others were for days. Some were individual, others were corporate. There's all type of fasts as you go through the scripture. But the point is, and we see it here in Matthew 6, if we are in Christ and we belong to his kingdom, we will fast. But why? Why should we fast? What are the spiritual purposes for fasting? Let me give you one. Turn to Matthew 9. There's one reason. Here's one purpose. And what you have in Matthew 9 is this question about fasting. Here, the disciples of John, that is John the Baptist, and they come to Jesus, and we know the scribes are there as well. We know that from Luke's gospel. But the disciples of John the Baptist, they come to Jesus, and they ask him this question. Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Now understand that the religious leaders were so fastidious in their supposed keeping of the law, they fasted twice a week. By the way, there's only one prescribed fast, one commanded fast in the scripture, and that is on the Day of Atonement. That was it. One commanded fast in the scripture. They fasted twice a week. And you remember, this is what they taught. If you want to be close to God, you want to know God, then you must fast and do so twice a week. And it became legalistic. And so John's disciples are perplexed. Your disciples don't fast at all. Remember in Luke 18, the Pharisee says, I fast twice a week and give all that I have and I pray. And they did all that to gain acceptance with God. But listen to what Jesus says. The attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? Very simple illustration. When you are at a wedding, what do? It's a time of what? It's a time of rejoicing. If you're the best man or you're the groomsman, you rejoice and you're glad and you're full of joy. It's a time of celebration. It's not a time to mourn. It's not a time to fast. Jesus is saying, how can my disciples fast? It's not a time to mourn. The Messiah is here. The Messiah has arrived. It's a time for great joy and celebration. The long-awaited Messiah, the long-awaited King, the long-awaited Savior is here. Why would my disciples fast? This is a time to rejoice. But notice what he says. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. And that day did come. Time when Jesus was taken away, he was crucified, buried, rose, and ascended to the Father. He says that is the time that they will fast. And they did. They mourned when Jesus left them. You can just read the upper room discourse, the pain that they had because Jesus was leaving them. And that's no different today. One reason, one spiritual purpose that we should fast is because of an intense longing and desire to be with our Lord. This is how John Piper puts it. Christian fasting, at its root, is a hunger of a homesickness for God. Christian fasting, at its root, is a hunger of a homesickness for God. And there's two ways to look at this. One is that our physical appetite is lost because our homesickness for God is so intense. Did you get that? Our physical appetite is lost because our homesickness for God is so intense. Now think about that with me for a moment. Have you ever wanted to be with the Lord so much? Have you ever cried out, Lord, come quickly? Have you ever desired the consummation of all things, the return of Christ? Have you ever wanted that so much that you lost your appetite and spent time fasting and praying? You're all looking at me like, what are you talking about? I know, because that is in us. I can tell you, confession, I've never fasted for that reason. I've never fasted for that reason. In fact, I don't fast much at all. This is a great reminder for me this week. Great reminder. I don't fast. The last time I fasted was when I was in the candidating process to come here. I took time to seek the Lord and to fast and to pray. A major, major life-changing decision. I'll fast at that time. So think about this. Have you ever desired to be with Christ so much there is a yearning and an aching and a longing in your heart? I just want to be with Christ. I can't eat. I just need to pray to be with my Lord. It's not me. But this is the reason. This is why Jesus says we will fast. It's when he's gone and we long to be with him. We long for his return. We yearn for Christ. We yearn to be satisfied in Christ. And we want to be satisfied so much to the point that we just take time to fast and to pray and to be with him and to cry out to him because there is such this intense longing to be with him. I would suppose that most of us here are not fasting for that reason. If you are, God bless you. That's amazing. Praise the Lord. Now, you would have a follow-up question, right? Why not? Why isn't this me? Why don't I have that longing and desire and ache in my heart to be with Christ so much that food doesn't seem appealing in the moment? So here's again John Piper. He says this, half of Christian fasting is that our physical appetite is lost because our homesickness for God is so intense. The other half, this is, I think, where we are. At least I am. The other half is that our homesickness for God is threatened because our physical appetites are so intense. What is he saying there? In other words, We have such a hunger for the things of this world, and that we are satisfied with the things of this world, that we lose our desire for God. And I think that's the reason why we don't have that aching and longing and desire, that intense desire to be with Christ. And we fast and we pray. It's that we are consumed with the things of this world. And we can become so satisfied with the things of this world that draws us away from our satisfaction in Christ. Is that not true for most of us here? We cling to the things of this world. And again, hear me say this. It's not that we cannot enjoy the good gifts that God gives to us. We can, we should. But those good gifts can lure us away from God. And instead of enjoying those gifts for His glory and seeing all of those gifts as coming from God and enjoying them in God, we can enjoy the gifts more than the giver. And that's the problem. So again, Piper says the greatest adversary of love to God. Listen to this. I just found this so interesting. The greatest adversary of love to God is not His enemies, but His gifts. And the most deadly appetites are not for the poison of evil, but for the simple pleasures of earth. For when these replace an appetite for God Himself, the idolatry is scarcely recognized and almost incurable. So what's the answer? We fast to nourish our hunger for God and to reduce our hunger for the world. If we don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It's because we have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Our soul is stuffed with small things and there is no room for the great. End quote. In other words, we fast to increase our appetite for God and for His glory and what He desires. It's when our appetite is for the things of this world that consume us that we need more of God. And one way to draw closer to God and to be satisfied in God is by fasting and praying. You remember in the parable of the soils, Jesus says that there are people who hear the word of God. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life. Or in Mark's gospel, he says, it is the desires for other things that enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And there he's speaking of unbelievers. You know, unbelievers are drawn away by the desires for other things, but even as Christians, it's these desires for other things that can become our enemy. And the only way to triumph over those desires is a deeper hunger for God. And again, it's not that these things are evil, but they can replace our love for God, our appetite for God. So why do we fast? Because we don't live for the things of this world. And fasting reminds us of that. Fasting helps us to set aside time so that we may seek more of God in prayer and that we would have a greater and more intense desire for Him. In other words, what we're saying is, I want more of God in my life. I want to be satisfied in God. I want to be satisfied in Christ. So Christian fasting is for the purpose of seeking God, of drawing closer to God, of being satisfied in God and not in the things of this world. And we'll look at a few other purposes shortly, but how do we fast? So I want you to notice in our text, how is it that we are to fast? First, Jesus begins with how not to fast. Again, don't be like the religious hypocrites when you're fasting, because all you'll have is the praise of man, and that's your reward in full. Notice verse 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. For they neglect their appearance so that they'll be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have the reward in full. So again, notice that warning. Don't fast to be noticed and recognized by others. Don't fast so people can look at you and admire you and say, wow, what a godly person you are. See how holy you are. To see how spiritually mature you are. And you must be way more spiritually mature than others because you actually fast. And so here you are drawing attention to yourself. Why? Because you love the praise of man. And you want it. This is the reward that religious hypocrites desire. I mean, clearly, they're not fasting for the glory of God. They're not fasting to seek more of God. They're not fasting to draw closer to God. They're doing it for the praise of men, and they get the reward in full. And again, it's not to say that we can't fall into this. We can. Once again, it is easy to love the praise of man. It's easy to love to be noticed and to be recognized, to crave being made much of. That is what our fallen nature wants and desires and craves. So instead of hungering for the praise of man, hunger for the praise of God. Hunger for joy in God. Hunger to delight in God. Hunger to be satisfied in God. Those are the things that you should be hungering for. And you need to pray that daily. Lord, help me to be satisfied in you. I want to be satisfied by your glory, not by the trivial things of this world. Because that is so easy to do. So when you fast, don't announce it to every person. And you can even announce it by how you look or how you act. I mean, that's pretty easy to do. Notice it says they neglect their appearance. They would put on these gloomy faces. Neglect their appearance. They would wear old kind of clothes. Their hair would be all messed up. Cover themselves in sackcloth and ashes. They would even use makeup to make themselves look pale and sick. So when people saw them, they'd say, whoa, what's going on with you? You don't look so good. Oh, that's because I'm fasting. I haven't eaten in days because I love the Lord so much. I mean, that's ridiculous. Now, you can do that too. I mean, obviously, when you fast, if you're married, your wife's going to know about it, your husband's going to know about it, your kids will know about it, but you don't have to draw attention to yourself. Just be normal. If you want to be noticed by others when you fast, trust me, you can find ways to do it. And people will admire you, and they will go, wow, you are so disciplined. I could never go without a meal. I mean, I don't know how you could do it. Oh, I don't either. All the Lord. Look, and by the way, this doesn't mean you can't fast with other Christians. You can do that just as long as you're doing it for the glory of God. Well, how do you fast? That's the proper way. Verses 17 and 18, but you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Instead of looking like someone who's in need of food, someone who needs their next meal, someone who is so hungry they can't stand it, again, just be normal. Get up. Wash your hair. Fix it up. Make it look nice. Let your appearance just be the way it always is. Act normal. It says the anointing of your head, washing of your face, that was just simple, normal practice, done each and every day. Oil could be scented like perfume. So Jesus is saying, just be normal, do what you normally do so you're not drawing attention to yourself. No one should know you're fasting except the Lord and anyone else. Again, if you're married, again, yet your spouse will know about it. But the point is, don't fast to be noticed by men, to show off, to be praised or admired. So this is the test, isn't it, in our own lives? Are we hungering for the praise of man or hungering for God himself? That's the question you want to ask this morning. The more you are satisfied with God, the more you will want more of him. The more you are satisfied with God, the more you're going to want more of him. And look, don't fall into the trap either. We don't fast to earn favor from God. This was the major problem of the religious leaders. They thought because they fasted twice a week that they were more spiritual, they were more holy than everybody else, that they had earned God's favor. Look, you and I cannot earn God's favor. It goes back to the cross. Don't think by your fasting you're going to be more spiritual, you're going to be more holy, you're going to be better than other people, you're going to draw closer to the Lord because you think you're better than somebody else. No, fasting can be a means of drawing closer to the Lord, again, if it's done for the right purposes. We are to remember the gospel. We are to remember that on the cross, Jesus died for our sins. He took upon himself the very wrath of God in our place. He took our punishment, took our condemnation. And it's by repentance and faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can have eternal life. And when we are reconciled to God through faith in Christ, that is it. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But it's so easy for us to slip into, I'm performing these spiritual disciplines, and I think I'm right with God because I do them. It's legalism. Don't fall into that. Just fast for the very purpose of drawing closer to the Lord and out of your love for him. That's the point. Now, I just want to give you some more spiritual purposes for fasting. A couple things that might help you. Again, Donald Whitney gives these in his book, in his chapter on fasting. And this is, by the way, not exhaustive. He gives 10 of them. I think I have 4 of them. We'll go through them rather quickly. So this means you need to take time to go back and study on your own. There is a workbook that Paul Washer has on fasting. It's a great workbook. If you want the title of it, let me know. He has you go through all the scriptures and study fasting. It's very informative, very helpful. Very biblical. First of all, you fast to strengthen prayer. You fast to strengthen prayer. There are times you would know in your life, in my life, there's great urgency about a particular situation, about a particular circumstance, or even a particular concern, and we go to the Lord and we set aside time to fast and pray. It could be the situation is so urgent that we don't even feel like eating. And so instead of spending your time elsewhere, spend that time in prayer. You see this in Ezra. He was going to lead a group of exiles who were in captivity back to Jerusalem, and this was going to be a long journey, a very dangerous journey. And he had already told the king, "My God protects us. My God is with us. My God is for us." And so he's not going to ask him for any troops. So what did Ezra do? Ezra 8:21, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way. Because we had just said to the king, 'The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him, but his power and his anger against all those who forsake him.' So we fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our entreaty." So here they took time to fast and to pray before they went out on this very long journey and prayed and asked God for his protection. Number two, you fast to seek God's guidance. Fast to seek God's guidance. Again, there are times, and I mentioned one earlier, that we are making some major decisions. It's wise to take time to fast and to pray about that decision. And what are we doing as we are seeking God's guidance? It's this: we're taking time to discern the will of God as we look in His Word about that decision. Okay? When I say seek God's guidance, it is to take time to discern the will of God as we look to His Word. So in Acts 13, you have the church in Antioch. They have leaders in the church, and they want to send out missionaries to go and preach the gospel, to plant churches, to make disciples. And as they were preparing to choose who to send out, read this in Acts 13, verse 2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then verse 3, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So here was a decision in the church to send out missionaries. What were they doing? They were fasting. They were praying. They were seeking God's guidance as to whom they should send out. And when it was revealed to them who they should send out, they fasted and prayed further and sent them on their way. Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas are appointing elders for the churches they had founded. Verse 23, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So they were praying and fasting as they were thinking about who to appoint as elders in the church. So fasting and praying, when there are decisions you need to make and you need direction from God's Word, and you receive it as you read God's Word and apply His Word, but do so with fasting and praying at times. We fast to express grief. Thirdly, we fast to express grief. There are times when we can be so grieved by our sin that can just lead to times of fasting and prayer. We can be so overwhelmed and so overburdened by our sins that we go before the Lord in fasting and prayer. Now again, here's the warning here. We don't fast and pray so that we would see this as paying for our sins. No. Can't pay for our sins. Only Christ has paid for our sins once and for all. We know the promise: if we confess our sins, He's faithful, He's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But there are times when we can be so grieved over our sins that words cannot be expressed to God. During those times, fasting can be a means by which we can communicate the grief that words cannot express at that time. Fasting can help us to see the gravity of our sin and the need to change and to repent and the need to turn and to do that which pleases the Lord. You can also fast when others are in sin and you have a burden for them. You think about in your life, maybe children who are not in Christ. That's a time of great pain and great burden for many, many parents. They want their children to come to faith in Christ. And so that could be a time of, there's such a burden in your heart that you just set aside time to fast and to pray for them. See the Israelites doing this. They express grief over their sin, a desire to repent through fasting. See this in 1 Samuel 7. Samuel brings them together to pray for them. We read, they gathered to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." There was such grief in their hearts over their sin that they fasted. And fourthly, fast to humble yourself before God. Fasting is an expression of humility before God. It's recognizing who God is, recognizing how much we need Him. And so fasting is an expression of humility. David in Psalm 35:13, he says, really of his enemies, "When they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer kept returning to my bosom," or to my chest. Just humbleness to David as his enemies are after him, and he even prayed for them. But David was humble before the Lord. Fasting is an expression of being humble before God. Now, as I said, there are many more spiritual reasons to fast. But remember this, fasting is always done for a spiritual purpose. There's no prescribed times. There's no prescribed locations. It's not how often should you do it. Simply, Jesus says, when you fast. But again, there should be, and I pray this for you, and I'm praying this for myself, that there would be such a hunger and a desire to be with Christ that at times we wouldn't even be hungry for food. We'd have such a hunger to be satisfied in God. So I pray that for you and for me as well. And as we looked at these other spiritual purposes, I pray that this helps you to draw closer to the Lord, humble yourself before Him. And as we do fast, we do so not to be recognized by others, but for the purpose of bringing glory to God. Let's pray. Father, this morning, and we thank you for this time together, and we thank you for your word. It's so helpful to continue to go through the Gospel of Matthew because we're learning so much, Lord, especially this morning about fasting. It was such a great reminder to myself. How it's so easy to cling to the things of this world, to be satisfied with the things of this world. And I pray, Father, for all of us here that we would have a greater hunger, an aching, a yearning, a longing in our own hearts to be with you. We know that day will come, either when we depart through death or Christ returns, that we will be with you forever. But now, we do long to be with you. We do long to be satisfied in you. And Lord, help us to be satisfied in Christ and not by the things in this world that draw us away from you. We do thank you, Lord, for the great gifts that you give to us. And we can enjoy those gifts. We can do all things, even eating and drinking, to your glory. That as we partake of those gifts, that we would praise you for them and thank you for them, always keeping our minds centered on you. It's when we enjoy those gifts without enjoying you that we're pulled away by the things of this world. Lord, we love you and we desire again to be satisfied in you. So help us, Lord, to set aside those times to fast and to pray, to draw closer to you, to seek more of you, to be as the psalmist as we read this morning, my soul thirsts for you, my soul clings to you. Let that be our prayer, let that be our passion, let that be our desire. So help us in this, Lord. And help us as well as we fast or we pray or we give, not to do so for the purpose of being noticed by others. It's easy to crave that. It's easy to long to be admired by others. That doesn't mean we can't be appreciated as we may help someone, but we give you the glory as we do so. So, Father, we love you and we thank you for this morning. Help us to draw near to you, Lord, because we, above all, want to see your name magnified. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.